فيه وما ولا وبعد الله سبحانه وتعالى جل جلاله يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين هذا الإيمان بأس الفنيو دل الله سبحانه وتعالى جل جلاله gave us a tool a very powerful tool to ask for his help to seek his help in any form of difficulty and he said oh you believe istaeenu ask for the isti'anat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how bis-sabri wa salah now what is sabr sabr is very often misunderstood to mean and it's translated the problem with a lot of English translations is that the English language is poverty-stricken, so it doesn't have the kind of words that Arabic has. And so therefore, people translate it to the best of their ability, but that translation does not cover the essence and the meaning of the Arabic word. So, sabr you will find always in any of the English translations is translated as patience. And patience in English means to sit around and wait. Be patient. The plane is delayed. Flight is delayed. So be patient. So what do you want to do? You can't make the flight go faster or something, or you can't make it go earlier. So you sit and you are patient. Okay, you are not making a noise, you are not screaming and raving and ranting, but you are sitting patient. You are not doing anything. Now this is not the meaning of sabr. Sabr in the Quranic sense means to make effort to the ultimate degree. Now, what is my proof of saying that? My proof of saying that is that in other places in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anfal, in Surah in Al Imran, and other places, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentioned the word sabirin to mean mujahideen. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, if there are 100, Allah will give them victory over 1,000, and so on. And Allah did not use the term mujahideen; He said as-sabirin. Now, do you mean the 100 people sitting in one place in a masjid? From the ayat, it is very clear that what is meant there is mujahideen. So, sabr, and Allah gave the example of the person who is engaged in jihad fi sabilillah. There is no action or there is no image which is more action-oriented than somebody who is fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah called them the people of sabr. So sabr is to do the maximum that you can possibly do. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not stop with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, was salah. And salah. Have take the help of Allah with sabr and salah. The finest example of that is from the Battle of Badr. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did is the tafsir of this ayah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the battleground. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted with the Sahaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranged the lines of battle. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the command of the different battalions to different people. And then he stood in Salah. He did not stand in Salah first and make dua and then do all of this. He did not sit in Masjid al-Nabawi and say, Ya Allah, deliver Abu Sufyan's caravan to me. No. He did whatever was in his power to do. And then he stood in Salah and he said, Oh Allah, except for your help, nothing can happen. Oh Allah, you help us and you promise to help us. You promise to help me, you give me your help, you promise to help me, help me. And he said, Oh Allah, if this group is defeated, if they are wiped out, then there will be no one to worship you on the face of the earth. But this dua came when? After all the arrangements had been made, after all the effort had been made. Not before, after making all the effort. Istaeenu bis-sabri wa salah. Why is the salah necessary after the effort? Think about this. Why is the salah necessary after the effort? The salah is necessary after the effort because to ask the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after you make the effort is the tawheed of the action. Where a person makes all the effort and then he says, Ya Allah, this effort is not going to do anything. Why make the effort then if it's not going to do anything? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-salah. So therefore, we make the effort because Allah told us to make the effort. So making the effort is the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum. Bis-sabri wa salah. And then we stand in salah. And in the salah, what is the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In his dua, he is negating all the effort. He says, Ya Allah, I made all the effort, but the effort has no life in itself. The effort cannot do anything by itself. The effort will be completely unsuccessful unless you help. That is the tawheed of the effort. That is what saves you and me from making shirk through our effort. And that is why I get so, when people say, how will I eat? And that makes my blood pressure shoot up because that is the, you are committing shirk. You are committing shirk. How will my family eat? Are you the razak of your family? How will your family eat if you drop dead now? How many families do you know who died of starvation because the father died? They actually do much better, generally speaking. Because the community will take care of them, somebody will give them things and so on, family takes care of that. Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Make the maximum effort. And then stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined these two things. Allah did not say each one by itself. And this was the way of the Anbiya, of all the Anbiya. We heard, may Allah bless the Imam, he recited Surah Al-Nuh in Salat Al-Fajr. We heard the effort of Nuh alayhi salam. What did he do? Exactly the same thing. Day and also night in his case, he would go and give da'wah to people. And then when that is over, he would stand in salah. And this was the way of the Anbiya. All the Anbiya did that. They made effort during the day and in the night they stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they said, Ya Allah, this effort has nothing in it. It will not succeed unless you give us success. Ya Allah, give us success. But they did not make that dua without making the effort. And please understand, these two things are related. And the reason I'm saying is that many times we find that, you know, young people, for example, you got your exam, and you find that they don't study, they don't do what they should be doing, and then they say, no, I'm in the masjid, I'm making dua, it doesn't work also. Doesn't work because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not show us that method. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you study first. You do what you have to do, and do it to the best of your ability because you are obeying the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not some lackadaisical effort, not some effort which is substandard, no. Max, whatever is in your power, maximum effort followed by salah, which is dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. Bis-sabri wa salah. And then what did Allah say? What is the result of this? Did Allah say that Allah will help you? Because you asked for the help of Allah. Ista'inu bis-sabri wa salah. So did Allah say that Allah will help you? Allah did not say he will help you. Allah said, Inna Allaha ma'as-sabri. Allah is with the people of Sabr. Allah is with them. Now please understand, there is a difference between the ma'iyat of Allah and the help of Allah. If you go to the king and you say, I need your help, and the king said, all right, I will help you. There is a certain understanding of that. I will help you. How much will you help me? Maybe I will help you as much as you need. Maybe I will help you as much as I want to help you, and so on and so forth. But if the king says, don't worry, I am with you. Is there a difference between I will help you and I am with you? I am with you means I, with everything that is mine, with my whole kingdom, with my whole power, with my whole authority, I am with you. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. Allah did not say, Inna Allaha ma'al-musallim. He said, Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. So the effort is absolutely critical. And when you make the effort and you follow it up with the salah, you correct your aqidah, you correct your line and say, Ya Allah, I made all the effort, I did my best, and you know that I am doing my best, and I am now rujoo ilallah, I am turning towards you, and I know and I accept La ilaha illallah. La nafi wa la darra illallah. There is no one who can give benefit and no one who can cause any harm to me except by the idhn and hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do that, Inna Allah ma'a sabirin. Allah said, Allah is with you. I remind myself and you, let us understand the meaning of salah. And let us practice that. And then make sure that you stand in the night before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jala jala. Because without that combination, there's no equation, there's only one side. It's only when the equation happens that you get the result of the equation. The result of the equation is what? The ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is with the people who do this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to practice this beautiful deen of His in a way that pleases Him. And we ask Allah to be pleased with us, to make it easy for us, and to show us the noor and the barakah of His of following His deen in our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ikhlas to follow this deen and to do anything we do only and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't spoil it, don't ruin it by running behind people's approval and this and that. And don't fool yourself by saying that, you know, I am chasing Facebook or I am chasing whatever because this word, my goodness must spread and people must benefit. Anyone who thinks like that is falling into the lap of shaitan through kibr. Anyone who says that I want my videos or my lectures or my work to be known all over the world so that people will benefit, you are saying that you are actually beneficial to people. The Anbiya did not say this. The Anbiya connected people to Allah, which Nabi connected people to himself. They connected people to Allah. And you say, my stuff should spread in the world because people will benefit. Please, don't fall into this trap. These are the traps of shaitan. Pure shaitan. Completely fear the day when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have done all of this work all your life, and fear the day when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the book is given in your hand and the book is blank. Nothing in this book. Remember the hadith of the Salaf. Rasulullah said the first person to be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the alim, will be the da'i, will be the one who is to invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will be asked, what did you do? And he will say, Ya Allah, I studied the Quran and I memorized the Quran and I studied the deen and I invited people towards you for your sake. And it will be said to him, you did not do this for my sake. You did this so that you will become popular, and this happened. And here there is nothing for you, and that person will be the first person to be thrown into the hellfire. And so also with the one who did, in fact, vis-a-vis-illah, who was charitable, for the same reason, and also for the one who fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mujahid fi sabilillah died in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing will happen to him. It's a long hadith, but I'm talking about one part of it. So the point is, please don't fall into these traps. These are the traps of shaitan. Seeking name and fame is from shaitan, pure and simple. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise your name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We will raise your name, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise your name. And if Allah wishes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you popular and He will make your name and He will allow people to benefit from you. And if nobody benefits from you, still inshallah your position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is secure. How many of you have heard about Imam Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi? Imam Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi, in terms of ilm, in terms of knowledge, he had his own mazhab, and we don't sit in judgment on the ulama. We don't say who was bigger than whom and so on and so forth. But if one was to compare, Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi is somebody you can compare with the four imams that we follow. he was in terms of his knowledge and so on, he was equal to Imam Hanifa, Imam Malik and so on and so on. But today, how many people do you know who are following the madhab of Imam Al-Abzai? I don't know anybody. So what do we do? You think he is in the garbage? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his maqam is his maqam. And Imam Al-Abzai, even though people don't follow his madhab, but his fatawa are consulted, what he said and what he did not say, all of this is part of the books of fiqh and so on and so forth. So it's not as if he's forgotten. He's not forgotten, but obviously he does not have, in terms of within quote popularity, the popularity of Imam Abu Hanifa or Imam Shafi'i and so on. So what? So what? Don't fall into this trap of popularity. I'm saying that with regard to sabr, because when you are making the effort, if your mind is to say, this effort I'm making, how many people are seeing it, then you're starting with zero and you're remaining with zero. Even if the whole world benefits from your effort, you will get nothing before Allah. Remember this one. Because many people give this argument. Oh, but you know how many people come to the conference? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. There was a man who was fighting in Ramat. And somebody said, and he was fighting very bravely, and somebody said, he is surely a person of Jannah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he is a person of Jahannam. So one of the Sahaba, he decided, you know, there is this man, he's a Mujahid, he's fighting on the side of the Muslims, he's fighting so bravely. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he's a man of Jahannam, how is this possible? So he followed him. And he found that towards the end of the day, in the course of fighting, the man was wounded in many places, and he was wounded so badly, he was in a lot of pain, so he could not bear the pain, and therefore he committed suicide. He fell on his own sword. So they came and told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, I told you. But they said, Ya Rasulullah, but you know, he was beneficial, he was helping us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also takes benefit from the fasiqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always also causes benefit for people, from people who are actually rebellious, who are people of Jahannam. So just because 1,000 people are coming to you or to listen to your lecture means nothing. Those 1,000 will get Hidayah, you will get Jahannam. Please don't fool yourself. This is one of the biggest traps today of people in the work of Deen. You say, oh, but so many people came. Yeah, so all those so many people, they will go into Jannah, you will go into Jahannam. You know what is a, you know what are flint stones? You knock the two stones together to light a fire. Don't be a flint stone. Because at the end of the day, you are still a stone. You are lighting all the fires, but you, inside you, nothing. You are still a stone. Do not be a flint stone. Ensure that there is ikhlas. Number one requirement for anything to be accepted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ikhlas. Ensure that there is ikhlas and understand that your ikhlas, the thing that destroys it is name and fame. And running behind name and fame, the root of that evil is money. Keep these two things completely and totally out of your da'wah. No money, no name and fame. What Allah gives you is from Allah, bin Allah ta'ala, inshallah, there is no harm in that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise your ranks, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise your mention, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover you with honors. And in this dunya wal akhirah, may Allah cause you to be a source of benefit for all of mankind, inshaAllah understand. But from your side, ensure that your ikhlas is as pure as possible. The way to do that is to ensure that you don't take a single cent, make it haram on yourself. And also, do not run behind name and fame. And third point is continuously make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshaAllah we hope for the protection of Allah from shaitan, from kibr, from seeking name and fame, from a riya, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our effort in a way that is pleasing to Him, because that's the only thing which matters. The only thing which matters is whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked what we said. The whole world and His grandfather can dislike it, makes no difference. You can have zero followers, makes no difference. As a matter of fact, that's a very good thing. Because then you have nobody bearing witness against you. So So please ensure in Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu Ista'inu Bisabri Wassala. Make the best effort to please Allah. Absolutely top quality. And then Rujoo ila Allah to ensure that we have ikhlas. And say, Ya Allah, this, all of this is nothing without your help. So ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make tawbah to ensure that our ikhlas remains intact. And the reward of that is the ma'iyyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah being with us. Enjoy that. Feel that. What is the meaning of Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin? What is the meaning of Allah is with you? Allah is with me. What is the meaning of that? I'm not talking about the linguistic meaning. We know the linguistic meaning. I'm saying inside us what is happening. I remind myself and you, let us focus on our hearts. Let us focus on our hearts. Let us focus on our hearts so that the heart is responsive. The heart sees, the heart understands. Today even scientifically people say that, but that doesn't matter. Allah said this long before because He made the heart. Allah said, لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah said that they are not blind because they cannot see. They are blind because their hearts cannot see. The hearts in their chest, they are blind. So our hearts, are they blind? Are they seeing? Are they feeling anything? Does anything happen to us when we think about this, that Allah is with me? And the opposite, maybe Allah is displeased with me. What does it do? So please focus on the heart. Focus on making the heart, purifying the heart. And constantly ask yourself this question and say, what is happening to my heart? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and to protect our qulub and to protect our nufus and to protect our hearts and to protect our actions and our speech so that we never say or do anything which is displeasing to Him. Jalla Jalaluhu wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.